translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Lord Shiva told Goddess Durga, "My dear Devi, although the Vedas recommend the worship of demigods, worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is rendering the service to Vaishnavas who are related to Lord Vishnu." If you can repeat. Lord Shiva told the Goddess of Durga, "My dear Devi, although the Vedas recommend worship of demigods, the worship of Lord Vishnu is the topmost. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is rendering of service to the Vaishnavas who are related to Lord Vishnu." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Vedas are divided into three divisions: Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and Upasana Kanda. These activities dealing with fruitive work, empiric philosophical speculation in worship. They are recommended, their recommendation in the Vedas for the worship of various demigods as well as Lord Vishnu. In this quotation from the Padma Purana, Lord Shiva answers a question posed to him by Goddess Durga. This verse is also included in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita 2.4 by Srila Rupa Goswami. The words Vishnu Aradhanam refer to the worship of Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Thus, the supreme form of worship is the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Krishna. It is further concluded that the worship of Lord Vishnu renders better service by worshipping the devotees of Lord Krishna. There are different types of devotees, those in Santa Rasa, Dasya Rasa, Sakya Rasa, Vatsalya Rasa, and Madhurya Rasa. And although all the rasas are on the transcendental platform, Madhurya Rasa is the supreme transcendental mellow. Consequently, it is concluded that the worship of devotees engaged in the service, Lord's service in Madhurya Rasa, is the supreme spiritual activity. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers mainly worship Lord Sri Krishna in Madhurya Rasa. Other Vaishnavas, Acharyas, recommend the worship up to Vatsalya Rasa. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami in his Vigdha Madhava describes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult as the supreme. Anarpita Chiram Chirat Karanayar Vritarnakalo Sampriyatam Una Jajvala Rasam Sva Bhaktim Sriyam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this age of Kali to exhibit the super excellence of Madhurya Rasa, a gift never previously bestowed any Acharya incarnation. Consequently, Sri Chaitanya is accepted as the most magnanimous incarnation. It is he only who distributed love of Krishna while exhibiting the super excellence of loving Krishna in the conjugal rasa. Om Jnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Jena Tasma Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapantika Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vidanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharinim Nirvish Sunyavadi Paschachade Satarine Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Jayananda Prabhu Swami Tinamine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So taking the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, Mother Manjuwali, dear God sister of Sriman Jayananda Prabhu, So Narada Muni, when he went to visit Magrari, he took his friend with him, Parvata Muni. And then Magrari, he came from the lowest of the background. He enjoyed the suffering of other living entities. And then when Parvata Muni saw the transformation of this person, he was very, very astonished. And he started praising Narada Muni, how he transformed Magrari. And then Narada Muni said, it's not at all astonishing to see Magrari transform this way. Why? Because the power of devotional service is so powerful that it can transform anyone who undertakes it. And Parvati said, no, I don't agree with you. What did Narada Muni was referred to? What did Parvati say? Anyone know? Sorry? Transcendental spaceman. That's true. What did Parvati in this connection, how did he address Narada Muni? Chintamani, a touchstone. He said that you are a touchstone. Whatever you touch transforms. Whoever's in your presence transforms. Because we could probably do devotional service, but unless we have that divine association of that touchstone-like devotee, then it won't be as effective. So such a touchstone appeared here. We are very, very fortunate. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. So just like Narada Muni had transformed Magrari into a great saint, Srila Prabhupada transformed many, many, many persons into great Vaishnavas. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada was in a kirtan, and Srila Prabhupada was laughing, and he was very, very happy. He had an ear-to-ear smile. And then afterwards in the kirtan, after the kirtan ended, the disciples asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, you seem so happy in the kirtan. You were very joyful. You were smiling. And they were asking, why were you so happy? And then Prabhupada said, well, I saw Narada Muni in the kirtan. And the devotees were surprised. Narada Muni in the kirtan? And then the devotees asked Prabhupada, why was Narada Muni here? He said, Narada Muni was here laughing and enjoying how the Yavanas and Mleches had become Vaishnavas. Haribol! And that was because of Srila Prabhupada. Like Narada Muni himself, touchstone, touched many, many, many hundreds, thousands of people's hearts and lives, and still continues. There was one person, he drove 300 miles. 300 miles he drove. He turned up at this manor reception. He brought the Bhagavad Gita, he put it in the reception. He showed the picture of Prabhupada and said, I want to meet this man. Who is this person? Just by reading this book, it's transformed. He said, I know you would like to meet him, so would I. He passed away about 40 years ago. But you can see, it doesn't have to be the Vapu physical association, even the Vani. So one of these great illuminaries, one of these amazing touchstone-like devotee also was His Grace Jayananda Prabhu. Jayananda Prabhu came from quite an affluent background. He was in the kind of rich kind of a society. But somehow or another, He never quite fitted in with that kind of, oh, yeah, so what kind of, what day are you going to have, you know? He wasn't quite into those kind of, you know, artificial kind of positions. So then he was a bit dissatisfied. And then he was just a cab driver. He was very, very qualified. He was an engineer by profession. So he could have got a very good job. But somehow or another, he wasn't interested. And then one day, he was in California, San Francisco. He was driving a cab over there. And he got a leaflet. And on the leaflet, there was a picture of Srila Prabhupada. And just by looking at that picture, he said, who is this person? Seems amazing. I would like to meet him. And he says, you are invited to some lectures. So also, like Prabhupada was once walking in New York, and then one person saw Prabhupada and said, wow, who is this person amongst New York, a sadhu, a saint, a swami? And that was Hayagriva. And he walked straight up to Prabhupada and said, he said, are you a swami? Are you a sadhu? And Prabhupada said, yes, in a humble way, and invited him. So when you see this picture, or when you see the murti of Prabhupada, many people I know, they kind of come upstairs and they're sitting in front of Prabhupada, and they say, Swamiji is very quiet, he's not speaking, is he? So they feel the presence of Prabhupada, or they think Prabhupada is there, and Prabhupada is there. So in this way, Jayananda got this leaflet, then he came to the lecture of Prabhupada. And it's explained that when he came to the lecture, there was hardly anyone there. There was many, many hippies over there. That was the era of the hippies. Were you there at that time? So, and then many hippies, they would come and take shelter of the temple, especially after a bit of a cold turkey. And one thing always attracted these hippies, what was that? Prasadam gives the jiva joy. Haribol. But when Prabhupada would give his morning classes, most of them were in Nidra. They were all sleeping. But there was one person who was always there. And who was that? And then Jayananda, he would just sit through Prabhupada's lecture. He would come early in the morning. He was a very responsible person. He held a job. Most of those who were in the temple at that time, they never held any jobs. But he was very responsible. He held a job. And then he would come. And Jayananda said there wasn't much conversation. After the class, Prabhupada would go and bring a huge plate of Mahaprasadam or Prasadam and feed Jayananda. And this happened day after day after day. Can you imagine Prabhupada personally feeding you? There's only you and Prabhupada. Haribol. And of course, Prabhupada's association transformed him. Prasadam transformed him. The philosophy transformed him because he was already dissatisfied. And then in this way, one day, Prabhupada was saying that he was in his room. And Jayananda came in and he placed $5,000, his life savings, on Prabhupada's desk. Prabhupada was very, very surprised. That was the biggest contribution, 1967. So yesterday I translated 5,000 in that time equates to $60,000 now. So imagine giving such a huge amount of money, your life saving. Prabhu, are you ready to give your life saving? So it takes tremendous amount of sacrifice. Yesterday we were reading in the Nectar of Devotion with the Bhakti Shastri students, and he says that whatever you're most attached to, if you give that to Krishna, then you would get Krishna's favor. So there are many things we are attached to, but generally our monetary, our money is what we are very attached to. And if we give that in the service of Sankirtan, then we get the attention of Krishna. So in this way, slowly, slowly, Jayananda Prabhu took responsibilities. And then he was driving a cab and he also became the temple president. So he would come for the morning program, see everything was okay, go and do a full-time job, come back, make sure all the devotees were happy, and then on top of that, whatever money he earned from taxi driving, he would give that for the maintenance of the temple. And in a world of many opinions, in a world of many kind of diversity, opinions, in a world we're not always in agreement, but I can confidently say that Jayananda Prabhu was loved by every single Prabhupada disciple. Literally, no one had any faults or qualms they could find in Jayananda Prabhu. Now think about this for a little while. Imagine being that person that no one could find any fault. Now, how do you think he got that status? Anyone knows? Of not anyone finding any faults in you. Prabhupada's association, because he himself would never find fault in anyone. He himself would never see the bad in anyone. He would only see the good. So in this way, he was very, very endearing and he was very, very, very humble. And it is said that he would do whatever menial service that was required. Most of us, we don't like to do menial service, but he would never say no to any service. He was always willing to do the needful. I think Mother Manjuwali can agree, in those days, needful was the most important aspect. You did anything that was required. You couldn't say no. You just had to say yes. And whatever was required, you had to do it. So that was the mood. And Jayananda had that mood. So he was such a rare soul. Sa Mahatma Sadurabham. So as we go along, there's so many different qualities. And this humility that Jayananda had wasn't just amongst the devotees. Even the outsiders, even the ruffians, they would also acknowledge that Jayananda was an amazing person. And in those days, as if you experience, we never had much money. Nowadays, I was just speaking one devotee, we seems to get boger after boger after boger. In fact, I think there's a sign, please don't bring too much, you know. So there's so much boga, but in those days, devotees had to do boga runs, go to the marketplaces, go to different places, and Jayananda would be the devotee, he would go. He was a temple president, he would go and do a boga run. And just because of his kindness, people would give. They don't know what they were giving to, they wouldn't know what this Hare Krishna was all about, but because he had that amazing quality of being very, very humble, then they would be happy to give. So one day it is said that on Rath Yatra, there was about thousands of devotees, they came. They just arrived. In those days, when there was a festival, devotees just arrived. There was an email, Prabhuji, I'm coming 2 weeks' time. Could you save a space for me? It wasn't any. They just arrived. If Prabhupada was there, bada boom, boom, boom. They were there, wasn't it? Mataji knows she had that experience in L.A. So devotees arrived, and then Jayananda woke up one morning and there was hundreds of devotees all there for the Rath Yatra. How are we going to feed all these devotees? Bap re bap. Then he went to his one of his market stall guys and he convinced him to bring a truckload of bananas and pineapples. He just convinced, and then next to no time, this big truck of bananas and pineapples, all free of charge. Anyone has that shakti, you can just go and convince someone, I want a truckload of bananas and pineapples. Jayananda had that shakti. Jayananda had that amazing quality that people were willing to serve him. And one of the most famous quality Jayananda Prabhu had was what? Sorry? Humility, yes. Sorry? Jolly. He was the king of Rath Yatra. The king of Rath Yatra. That was the title that was designated to him. Now, we have many, many festivals in Vaishnava calendars. Janmashtami, we have Gopanim, we have Vyasa Puja. But Rath Yatra is one of the most amazing, blissful days. Not just because there's no fasting on that day. But it's a day that the Lord goes out on an outing. We all like to go on an outing. We all like to go to the beach. We all like to go and have a picnic. And the Lord likes to go on an outing also. So then Rath Yatra is the Lord's outing. We take the Lord out. We take him on a parade. And Jayananda, instrumentally, was the first devotee, was the first devotee to organize the Rath Yatra in ISKCON. We know Srila Prabhupada had Rath Yatra very, very dear to his own heart, that even at the age of 5 years old, imagine what you were doing at 5 years old, maybe playing with your Action Man or Barbie doll. But Prabhupada, at 5 years old, he organized himself a Rath Yatra festival. And he would invite all the locals, and there was a big Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. And then, because Prabhupada wanted to implement this in the West, he asked the devotees there. So then they got a flat back truck, and they organized the Rath Yatra over there, Jagannath went. And then, of course, in tradition, some of the ISKCON vehicles or whatever, what happened? The vehicle broke down. And the devotees were a little bit disappointed. They said, oh, our first Rath Yatra. And they told Prabhupada. And they said, no. Prabhupada said, no. Sometimes in Rath Yatra possessions, the car just stops and doesn't go on. So that's a sign that Jagannath was happy with the first Rath Yatra. The same thing happened. When Bhaktisiddhanta appeared, the Rath car stood in front of his house and it wouldn't move. It wouldn't move until Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife took Bimal Prasad in front of Jagannath and the garland fell. And then after that, the Rath cart moved. In Lord Chaitanya's own pastime, the Rath cart wouldn't move, wouldn't move, wouldn't move until Lord Chaitanya touched it with his head. So then that was an auspicious beginning. And then the next year, 1968, because he was an engineer, he built a cart. Now, if you get a chance, you can go on YouTube. There's a very nice video of Jayananda building this cart. It's a very, very amazing cart. He built it himself. And Jayananda Prabhu had this unique quality that he could engage anyone in devotional service. Now, this is a true story. Jayananda was building the rath cart, and then sometimes you need a couple of people to hold the beam, to hold the stick, and then he needed someone. And one person was just bobbing along the street, minding his own business. And then Jayananda said, "Excuse me, could you just help hold this?" And he was thinking, what's this? And he said, "Of course, all right." Why? So he held the stick, and while Jayananda was fixing it, and after 5 minutes, then he was about to go. He said, "No, can you help me with this?" And before you knew it, this person was involved in building this rath. And Jayananda was starting to speak to this person. And do you know who this person happened to be? Then afterwards, just in those few moments of service to Jagannath, in the few moments of Jayananda Prabhu's touchstone-like association, he also became a touchstone. Do you know who this great personality is? Jayapataka Maharaj Swami Ki. So as Prabhupada transformed Jayananda into a touchstone, Jayananda himself was a touchstone. Just by asking this person to hold this beam, he transformed this person and he became the wonderful Jayapataka Maharaj. Then that was 68 and 69, he got more enthusiastic and then he built three carts. The first three carts in ISKCON were built. And it was a great procession, amazing. And then the following year, 1970, was a big landmark. So in these days, I've traveled to many, many Rath Yatras. I've been to New York, I've been to LA, I've been to Vancouver, I've been to Montreal, all Rath Yatras all over the world. And Rath Yatras, I've noticed in the corner of the eye, it turns up, and the person pulls a few things, bada boom, bada boom, and the rath cart is there, nicely engineered. But in those days, you had to build from scratch the rath cart, and that would take 2 full months. At the moment, our transcendental rath carts are stored somewhere. But in those days, the devotees, they would build the rath cart. And Jayananda Prabhu was involved in that. And then he would just get anyone involved, whoever was walking by, who was there. And he was so transcendental. Sometimes, when there was no funds, when there was no timber, he would just drive around and look around. And sometimes there will be old tracks of trains, isn't it? And what's on the tracks of the train? You have the metal part and you got the timber at the bottom. So at night he would go with the old tracks, dismantle those old tracks and take the timber from there, and he would use that to build the rath cart. Amazing. So then again in the video, you can see 1970, Mataji was saying that it was the most amazing Rath Yatra. 20,000 devotees, guests had all attended. And it was a massive, massive, big success. And you can see the devotees in the beach. They started a Golden Gate Park, Hippie Hill or whatever they call it. And then they all went down. And you can see hundreds and thousands of devotees there. So in this way, Jayananda Prabhu, he was very, very instrumental in the Rath Yatra. And I don't know how much, but I think now in probably over 300 cities, the Rath Yatra is now being performed all over the world. And Jayananda was the person who is the nucleus, the one who started. And this kind of went everywhere. It is said that Jayananda sometimes, he worked so hard at the Rath Yatra that for 5 days constantly in a night, he never slept at all. All night long he was up. All day long he was up. All night long he was up. I'm talking about myself. Sometimes I know we get a little bit kind of, the temple commander's giving me so much service. Oh, they're making me work so hard. Oh, this guy's got the whip out for me. But Jayananda, 5 days he stayed up and didn't sleep at all. So what an amazing, tremendous. He had some shakti, he had some power. And then here, Prabhupada in the purport is explaining that we're in the Madhurya Rasa. That the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we are in the mood of Radha and Krishna. Now this is also very, very interesting. Jayananda is the king of Rathyatra, and it's no coincidence that his service was Rathyatra. And what does the Rathyatra symbolize? It symbolizes that the gopis were not happy with the royal Krishna. They didn't like the crown. They didn't like the Kasturba Mani. They didn't like that flashy dashy dhoti. They wanted that mood of Vrindavan. And Rathyatra is all about that Madhurya, bringing Krishna back in the rule, the intimate Vrindavan. And that's what Jayananda Prabhu was doing, bringing Krishna back in that Madhurya Leela. So he was on that amazing transcendental level. One devotee was telling me he witnessed this himself. I won't try this yourself. Sometimes it motivates the devotees to do service. And the best motivation is Mahaprasadam. So I remember in those early days when we used to do service, I was also working with the Rathyatra, and somehow whoever's in charge of Rathyatra had connection to Mahaprasadam. So then they would bring Mahaprasadam to those who were working in the Rathyatra. Anyway, so this one day, they forgot to bring the Mahaprasadam. God forbid, no Mahaprasadam. Oh my God. So then all the devotees were a little bit dissatisfied. No Mahaprasadam, we couldn't work or anything. And then Jayananda, in his most transcendental way, said everything is Mahaprasadam. The Lord's cart is Mahaprasadam. Banging that nail is Mahaprasadam. And the axle grease is Mahaprasadam. And they think, don't be stupid, this is no Mahaprasadam. And then he took some axle grease. He says, yes, this is Mahaprasadam, and he had some. So he had a completely transcendental vision. And he was very, very dear to Prabhupada. And he would always inquire, where is Jayananda? So once Prabhupada was in his car, he said, where is Jayananda? And he says, Prabhupada, he's driving the vehicle. I said, oh, Jayananda, so nice to see you. And another time, Prabhupada was just about to start the class, and he says, oh, where is Jayananda? So imagine someone just starting class, Prabhupada, and specifically asking, where is Jayananda? And the devotee said, he's just parking the van. And then as Jayananda walked in, said, oh, here's Jayananda Prabhu. He is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, tall and handsome like Lord Chaitanya. And Jayananda, of course, he was very, very shy. He didn't want this praise, and he went to the side. So then, in this way, Jayananda Prabhu organized many, many Rathyatras. And the crown Rathyatra for Jayananda was what? Anyone know? What was the crowning Rathyatra? 1970, it was very important, yes. In my kind of humble opinion, it's 1976 New York. 1976. Now, you have to just go back 10 years beforehand. Prabhupada was in New York all alone. He had no disciples. He had nowhere to stay. He was driven out of his place. He was struggling. He had nothing. And then in 1976, when he was picked up, and then he was driving to the temple again, he asked, where is Jayananda? And Tamal Krishna, who was the GBC, said, we thought it was appropriate that Jayananda pick you up. And Prabhupada was very, very happy. And then Jayananda drove Prabhupada, and immediately Prabhupada recognized some of these places where he was sometimes saying, loitering in the streets. Sometimes when you see these homeless people, your heart kind of feels. So Prabhupada sometimes felt he was homeless in New York. And a tear came down Prabhupada's eyes, knowing that he had nothing. And 1976 was glorious for ISKCON. We had just acquired that 55th Street, massive skyscraper. You seen that? Prabhupada was arriving to see that. And Jayananda Prabhu, we don't have time, under all odds of difficulty, built three massive Rath carts. It was not an easy task. There's a story that the night before, two of the carts, the tops just blew over. And we were only going to have one cart. But Jayananda Prabhu would never, never, never accept defeat. All night long he stayed up. All night long with a few devotees. Whatever damage that was done, some or another, miraculous by Jagannath Prabhu's mercy, Haribol, the three carts were there. And again, you can see in the video, it was triumph for Prabhupada. 10 years ago, he had nothing. But 10 years later, in the most important city in the world, New York, in the most important street, Fifth Avenue. And you know how hard it was to get the permission? It was so hard. They never allow any parade in Fifth Avenue. It's just a no-go area. It's such a busy street. But somehow or another, Toshan Krishna Prabhu managed to convince them. That was the first Rath Yatra and many after that. And then Jayananda, he was there. And you can see in the back to Godhead, this picture of him in front of Jagannath, looking, beaming, smiling, so happy. And then his health turned. And then he went to L.A. And he had leukemia. And at that time, if I'm not mistaken from my little bit of research, there was no Rath Yatra in L.A. And then Jayananda Prabhu, he had leukemia, he was sick, and Rameshwar was the GBC, or no, was it Jayatirtha Prabhu? In L.A. Rameshwar was the GBC. And in that way, because he had this burning desire to see Rath Yatra in L.A., he was in his sick bed. He was convincing Rameshwar, and Rameshwar said, no, 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 no. So Jayananda, he got some money from his insurance, and then he ordered the timber, all the wood, and he plonked it all in the car park of L.A. Temple. And when the devotees woke up, there was all this wood there. And Rameshwar said, oh, why did all this? Jayananda had already ordered it. And somehow or another, even though he was sick, he, from his sick bed, he organized this whole Rath cart, helped them build it. And they had 1977, the first L.A. Rath Yatra cart. So even while he was in his sick condition, he still organized Rath Yatras. As his sickness progressed, his will to live started to go. And the devotees who loved him so much were encouraging him to please stay, please stay. And he was saying, I have a fear that Srila Prabhupada is going to wind up his pastimes. I don't want to be here when Srila Prabhupada passes away. And Haridas Thakur had the same concern. Very soon you're going to wind up your pastimes, Mahaprabhu. I don't want to have that separation. The Vipralamba is so powerful. So Jayananda also felt soon Prabhupada will wind his earthly pastimes, and he didn't want to be in that situation. So then devotees were taking very good care of him. Now just imagine, even though he had leukemia, even though he was very sick, every day he would get up at 3 o'clock to chant his rounds. Now normally sickness is our get out of Mangalati card. Isn't it? And rightfully so. If you're sick, then you have to rest your body. But not Jayananda Prabhu. Even though he had leukemia, terminal disease, he would still get up at 3 o'clock. And this one day, he got up at 3 o'clock, chanted this round. The Mangalati of Rukmini Dwokadish had just finished, and they brought some garlands. And as they brought the garlands to Jayananda, he passed away. Ribur. And the Rukmini Dwokadish garland went straight on him. So he had some connection there with Rukmini Dwokadish. He left at the time at auspicious Mangalati. The garland of Rukmini Dwokadish came to him, placed around his body, and he left. And then Rameshwar wrote a letter, and then Prabhupada, you can see this there on the internet, wrote a very nice letter. And then when more detailed description was given, then Prabhupada said he went back home, back to Godhead. And Prabhupada gave the instruction that every day we need to observe the disappearance of Jayananda. Now this is not a small feat, because once there was a ceremony of some sannyasi in ISKCON, senior Vaishnavas, and they had a birthday. And when Prabhupada found out about it, he was saying, no, we shouldn't celebrate birthdays like that. They're only meant for great Vaishnavas. So Prabhupada was very, very careful. We didn't just celebrate any nilly-nally person's birthday. So Prabhupada could see how elevated Jayananda was. And then, of course, you can look into this as you want, but reading from some of Prabhupada's disciples, he left while Prabhupada was still on the planet because Prabhupada wanted to acknowledge how great he was, that he could go on the Vaishnava calendar, that every year, that we can remember, glorify this wonderful Vaishnavas. Going back to the purport, Tadiya, worship of Vishnu, worship of Krishna is a great worship, but greater than that is the worship of the Vaishnavas. When Durvasa had offended Ambarish Maharaj, and then when he personally went even to Vishnu to try and retract the Shudarshan, he said, I have no power. Who controls me? The supreme controller of the whole cosmos, who controls everything. But there's one person who controls even the controller. And who is that? The Vaishnavas. He says, I cannot help you. You have to go back to Ambarish and ask for his forgiveness. Jiva Doya, Harinam Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva, these are the three fundamental foundations of Lord Chaitanya's mission. Harinam Ruchi, Jiva Doya, and Vaishnava Seva. So, on this auspicious day, try and reflect on the wonderful, amazing qualities, how we can also imbibe these qualities. It's well and good addressing the wonderful personality of Jayananda, but how can we implement those same qualities that he had? Non-enviousness, humility, endearing to everyone, acknowledged by the spiritual master, Mahajana Ye Gata Sampanta. We have to follow in the footsteps of these great Vaishnava Acharyas. Sometimes we might think it's not possible to go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. It's too much of a tall order. I can't do it. Prabhu, it's too hard. I'm a fallen person. But here, within a span of 10 years or so, Jayananda perfected his life and went back home, back to Godhead. Sriman Jayananda Prabhu Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Any questions? Or anyone wants to add any, Mother Manjuwali? Would you like to add some little bit, please? I know there's prasadam, but on days like this, it's nice to hear Vaishnavas. Mother Manjuwali?
Krishna, thank you for the wonderful class.
Thank you for listening.
Our God, Brother Jayananda. I never spoke to him, but I was in his presence. He came to Los Angeles and visited once. All the devotees from Los Angeles in the 70s when I joined would go to San Francisco for the Rath Yatra. There would be just four or five of us stood by. Back to look after the deities, and the whole temple of 75 devotees would make the pilgrimage 500 miles from Los Angeles to San Francisco for Rath Yatra. And not until after 1976 did they come to Los Angeles. But Dayananda, I just remember he had a presence. He was tall, he was humble, and he was a Prabhupada man. He had a leadership, a silent, quiet leadership style. And he had all the devotees had much affection for him. He was a little bit older than the young devotees and mature and had an amazing presence, quiet, strong, and absolutely a Prabhupada man. And so it's wonderful. Thank you. We honor him today. He was one of the first devotees that left our movement in service. And, you know, we were all really young then. And it touched all of us that he left at such a young age. As Prabhu has said, 10 years he gave to Srila Prabhupada day and night, a total example of how to be a devotee. And he got his wish true that he would go before his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, and he would go and prepare for Srila Prabhupada on the other side. So thank you, Prabhu. And we honor our God brother, and we thank him that his inspiration in serving the Rath Yatra and believing in Srila Prabhupada and the potency of sharing the holy name on the festival of Rath Yatra brings so many people and touches so many hearts and helps to establish this movement in the world. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And if you go to L.A. Temple, Rukmini Dwokadish, you can go to the place where Jayananda Prabhu, 1st of May, 1977, where he passed away. There's a nice, beautiful plaque in a picture of Jayananda Prabhu, the apartment he passed away. You can go. All these places are very holy, transcendental, tirtha places. We go to Vrindavan, we go to Prabhupada Samadhi. But Jayananda Prabhu, I was very fortunate I was there. And managed to have darshan over there. Prayojana Prabhu?
Yeah, I can't remember who it was who spoke about Jayananda Swami. And they said that when he was leaving his body, he was clutching a tape of Prabhupada chanting. And he passed away hearing that. Just clutching it and crying.
Thank you very much. So we've gone over time. I don't want to get told off by the management. So amazing, amazing, wonderful Vaishnav. Sriman Jayananda Prabhu ki. Please try and take some time and reflect on his wonderful qualities and how we can try and imbibe them in our own life. Thank you. Hari Bol.